Today on the podcast, we have Matthew Hussey, and we go deep live and in person. He shares with us 3 breakup healing secrets to help you recover quickly. He talks about what he wished everyone knew about love and life. How do you know when it's the one? How to choose yourself, even when you feel like no one is choosing you. We go deep. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Manifestival, where you'll receive profound breakthroughs, courage to break old patterns, and live into your soul's purpose. Each week, I will bring you epic guests, live coaching, and manifestation tools to remind you of your power. You have the ability to achieve extraordinary things, and the time to start is now. All right, Manifestival family, Matthew Hussey is in the house. We are live and in person in LA. But let me just share with you a little bit about him, because I am so honored that he chose to be here with all of us. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He's a speaker and a coach specializing in confidence and relational intelligence. His YouTube channel's number is number one in the world for love life advice, with over 500 million views. You guys probably already have watched a lot of his videos. He writes a weekly newsletter and is the host of the podcast Love Life with Matthew Hussey. He provides monthly coaching to the members of his private community at lovelifeclub.com. And he also just wrote a book. It's called Love Life Book, and it is coming out April 23rd, so you can get it right now, you guys, if you're listening to this. I'll put all of it in the show notes, but get it at lovelifebook.com. Welcome, Matthew Hussey. Have you ever taken time to read the back of an ibuprofen bottle? It's pretty mind-blowing that anyone still takes that stuff. It says right there on the bottle that the risks of it include heart disease, blood clots, strokes, and kidney failure. I'd rather find a safer way, more natural way to ease my body. Besides that, ibuprofen is only masking the pain and it's downright dangerous, especially for older adults. Since the root of most pain is caused by inflammation, I'd much rather turn to a super nutrient like omega-3 fatty acids that do more than just ease inflammation. They help prevent it altogether. So there is something that actually does this. It's high quality krill oil. It is not farm-raised, which is good. I wouldn't settle for anything else than wild-caught krill for my omega-3s as I would the fish that I actually ingest. So Native Pass omega-3s are sourced from some of the deepest, chilliest waters of the Antarctic Ocean, making them free of heavy metals like mercury, unlike regular fish oil. And Native Pass krill oil contains astaxanthin, one of the most powerful antioxidants found in nature. I don't know if you knew this, but astaxanthin is 550 times stronger than vitamin E, 800 times more powerful than CoQ10, and 6,000 times more potent than vitamin C. Pretty cool. Native Pass krill oil is formulated to be the most bioavailable, which means it's more quickly and easily absorbed in the body and goes right to work, so you'll get all the benefits and results quickly. Right now, Native Path is giving you, my listener, a crazy good deal, as low as $19 a bottle. So go check out this special offer at getnativepath.com/Danette. I'm going to actually spell this out for you, but the best part is, aside from helping keep inflammation at bay, omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, swelling, and joint pain. It can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, Tylenol, and it doesn't have the dangerous side effects either. So for a limited time, Native Pass Antarctic Krill Oil is giving it to you, the listener here on this show, as low as $19 a bottle. So you're going to go to getnativepath.com/Danette. So let me spell that. Get Native, G-E-T, Native, N-A-T-I-V-E, Path, PATH.com/Danette. D-A-N-E-T-T-E, to get your special offer for being a Manifestival listener. This is while supplies last. So if you feel swollen or you have achy joints and you just want to feel better right away, go ahead and get yourself some Native krill oil. How cool is that? Love you guys.
All right. I was reading your bio and I was like shocked What made you want to get into the conversation around love? Because I find it vulnerable, especially if you're going to get into a relationship. So I want to know what brought you into this space. What motivated you to be here and to be a mouthpiece around this conversation?
I mean, I started working with people in their love lives 17 years ago. So
like in what capacity? Like in a counselor or what?
I was at the time, the guy who came along and helped women particularly get out there and actually create opportunities, because I had this idea in my head that so many of the problems of people settling for people who didn't treat them well or were flaky or cold or didn't really want a relationship but strung them along anyway originated in women being too reactive in their love life and not going out there and creating opportunity, and that if they had more options they would not choose this person who treats them this way, they would choose a better person. And I was a bit right and a lot wrong. Because it did, you know, I had programs and courses that I would take people through to go out and create more options in their love life, and they worked. But what I was wrong about was that when people had more choice, they would make better decisions. Often they made the same decisions,
just more of them.
Just maybe. Over and over again would, you know, they could have 10 people, but they would still choose the one that treated them poorly or that made them question their value or that didn't necessarily, wasn't available emotionally or for a relationship. So that was my graduation into the deeper waters of what's really going on with us, with all of us, that even if we are able to create opportunity in our love lives. And of course, dating apps made a difference to the ease with which many people can create opportunity, although it certainly didn't solve that problem for a lot of people. What is it we can do to start to be happy in our love lives, to feel more peaceful, to make better choices? What's going on with us that even when we have more choice, we don't seem to be finding peace and happiness in this area? And I wrote this book, you know, the first book I wrote 10 years ago was really about creating those opportunities.
Right.
This book is about, I kind of almost want to say that book was about dating. This book is about finding love and what gets in the way on a deeper level.
Do you feel like that's kind of been a little bit of your path too? Like,
oh yeah.
Because you were into dating, like finding the right partner and the right date. And now you're like, no, I want love. Like I want.
I think a lot of my life, I was a bit of a serial monogamist, jumping from one relationship to the next, mm-hmm. not knowing what I wanted, not knowing how to make myself happy, let alone someone else. And then when I was single, you know, I would date in ways that I don't think were all that healthy. It was a bit of a dopamine cycle. And I got to the point where I realized that wasn't working for me. You know, I wasn't happy. I certainly wasn't making anyone else happy. So I thought I need to figure this out for myself, because this isn't going to work for me long term.
Yeah,
you know, I need to figure out where peace is going to come from for me, and what does a relationship look like for me where I'm really content, and why haven't I been able to be that person in a relationship yet?
Well, okay, so I want to kind of ask, because you've obviously been diving into this concept for 17 years, you're your own prodigy in a lot of ways. Let's talk about
which I never wanted to be, by the way. I mean, I was always very careful to be. I didn't talk a lot about my private life.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel interesting to me, and it didn't feel relevant. And, you know, people would ask about it, but I was always about the work and the message as opposed to
my personal experience. Yeah.
And even now, like I got married last year and I've been in this amazing relationship for the last, you know, 4 years of my life, but I don't want to be the example either. You know,
it's been a very personal
journey for me, as well as a public one, in the sense that everything that I talk about in this book about finding love is what helped me.
Yeah.
But I also don't think everyone should suddenly go, oh, he's married, so let's listen to him. I don't think that any, you know, I think the message is much more important than me, but it also does not coincidentally coincide with me having found much more peace in my life, which of course I hope this does for other people too.
Right. So someone who, because you talked a little bit about it's so much more because you're finding repeated patterns. So if, let's just say somebody is repeating patterns, what would be three things to clear that trauma that you've kind of dove into or researched or found that would help you be more of a match to what you're truly desiring?
I think starting from a place of saying, what's going on here that I don't like, you know, what, just start very simple. what do, you know, there's a famous line from a race car driver, Mario Andretti, where he said, if you, you know, want to know how to drive a race car, one tip is don't look at the wall, because your eyes go where, or your car goes where the eyes go.
Yeah.
So that became a very deep idea for me. What's the wall that I'm focused on that I just keep crashing into over and over again? And I think there were, you know, there were several of them. We all have our wall.
We do.
You know, and that wall was often constructed by the things we've been through in our life, the trauma. I write a story in the book about how my growing up had me become sort of hypervigilant about threats and things that could go wrong. And that translated into me being sort of overprotective and over scanning for threats when I would go out at night. And I was with my brothers in a bar in Japan. And,
oh yeah,
you know, my a person kept staring at my brother, who was very sort of, you know, just having a good time, not paying attention. And, you know, I perceived this threat that, you know, this person was going to go and hurt my brother. And so I ended up confronting him and creating a problem.
That's so good. That's a good enough. That's a good.
May not have ever even been a problem. Yeah. And, you know, it was a proud moment for me. And my brother came up to me and was like, what are you doing? Because it was literally like I was precipitating. What I want is peace. But what I was precipitating was the complete opposite. Yeah. And everyone can relate to that. This idea that what I want more than anything is love. And I keep pushing love away and creating the opposite. I had a woman who I coached who had a guy she was dating that she was having a great time with. And she, by all accounts, he was great. He wasn't doing anything wrong. And then one day he got a gathering of his friends together and he didn't invite her. And it really affected her. It brought up a lot for her in terms of abandonment and story.
Not being included.
Not being included, not, you know, liking him more than he liked her.
Yeah.
Him being embarrassed of her somehow and not wanting to introduce her to his friends. And it, she really, you know, her nervous system was like fully activated by this whole situation. And while he was having this nice time with his friends, she texted him and said, why didn't you invite me? And he said, well, I'm so sorry. You know, I haven't seen these friends in a while. I was excited to see them. I was just getting this group together. Can I call you later? And she said, don't bother. And he did it. 4 days later, she was speaking to me saying, I don't know what to do. I'm, you know, feel this really sucks. I like this guy, but now he's not texting me. And when you look at that situation, this is someone who has a real fear of abandonment.
Totally.
And when she gets afraid and she got triggered when he didn't invite her, the walls go up.
Yeah. And she pushed him away.
She said, don't bother calling me, immediately confrontational. And that's, there's a part of her that has obviously been struggling that for a, with that for a very long time. And the feelings she has around that are very real. You know, it's not that the feelings are real and they relate to a real time in her life.
Totally.
But they don't necessarily relate to what's happening in front of her now. They might, by the way, it's possible her intuition is picking up on something from him that is, you know, possible, you know, call it a red flag, that, but we don't know that right now. And the problem is, instead of exploring what the situation was, she saw the wall and just crashed straight into that wall. And unfortunately, what she wants is everything. She doesn't want the wall. What she wants is love, connection,
totally,
belonging, vulnerability, to be able to be herself. But what she got was not being herself, going to confrontation, not pain, which is what she was really feeling, pushing someone away, becoming completely guarded and not vulnerable, and then abandonment from the guy. So it's fascinating to me that we do these things. And the first step for her is, firstly, ultimate compassion, ultimate self-compassion.
So that was the first step, ultimate self-compassion.
Yeah, because you didn't volunteer for these feelings. You didn't volunteer for this nervous system. Something happened in your life.
Yeah, totally.
And your nervous system got wired a certain way before you were ever making decisions about how things got wired.
Yeah.
And it wired that way for survival and as a reflex response to whatever was going on around you. And that wiring is now still in existence in a time in your life where it is no longer serving you. But when you feel those feelings, it's not like you went to the buffet of feelings and went, you know what I want to feel? Abandonment,
no.
You know, fear, anxiety, not feeling good enough. No, if that was a light switch and you could just turn it off, everyone would turn it off. But she can't just turn it off because it's wired into her body. So he had a gathering. She wasn't invited. Everything in her body said danger.
Yep.
So ultimate self-compassion. The second thing is recognition that this is a pattern that's been in existence my whole life. And by the way, sometimes my hypervigilance in these situations was right.
Yep. Protected me. And I probably was proven right.
Right.
Yep.
And other times it wasn't. And so it's not that I'm never right. It's that always seeing the wall keeps leading me reliably into a certain experience in my life.
Yeah.
And that if I want a different experience, then I might have to change the pattern here. The trigger might continue to exist for a while, but I might be able to start to change the pattern that follows that trigger. So I think a really big step here is curiosity. I think curiosity is a really powerful emotion and value because it's not, belief is intimidating. If you say just believe that, you know, good people exist, just believe that people, you know, will come along and they will love you. Just if you have not experienced that in your life and your body doesn't recognize that as truth, I don't, some people may have the ability to just believe things. I certainly have never had that ability. And I don't think most people have that ability.
Yeah.
So they feel inadequate when they're just trying to believe something.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I still can't do it because I still feel danger and I still feel.
Yeah.
So it makes them feel defeated. Instead of trying to just adopt a new belief, adopt an attitude of curiosity. And curiosity says, what if my experience of this life isn't the only experience that is available? And what if there is proof of that around me? What if there are people in my life that seem to experience life differently? What's going on there? Why is it that someone else is having a more positive experience of relationships? Why is it that my friend can be more vulnerable than me and be more loving outwardly and be more compassionate or at least view things with a more kind of open lens, and it doesn't result in her getting steamrolled by life all the time? Actually, the opposite. She seems to attract a different energy into her life as a result of that. That curiosity about that is very powerful.
Yeah. I can see that.
You can.
You're asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, like just it's almost like you're messing instead of trying to change your belief. You're just messing with your belief a little bit.
Yeah.
You're just going, what is this always true? And is everyone else having this experience? And if they're not, and they're getting results that I think I would like to have, how do they think about this differently? What do they do differently? Where do they go right when I go left?
Yeah.
And asking those questions of people, and this is where again self-compassion comes in. You have to recognize that when you're asking those questions of someone else, especially if they're more natural or have reached a different point than you in this area, that you are a toddler in that area. And it's not that you're a toddler because you're an idiot. It's not you're a toddler because you're broken or because you, it's because of your life.
Exactly.
And your life has made you an athlete in certain areas. And it's made you a toddler, unable to walk in others.
Totally.
Or one who hasn't learned to walk yet in others. And what I like to do in my life is just recognize where I'm a toddler and go, okay, my life has not equipped me to naturally be good at this thing. If it's trusting people, my life has not made it easy for me in that department. So I'm a bit of a toddler when it comes to trusting people. And let me find people who
trust
and who maybe are athletes in that department or have learned to be, and ask them how they think about this. When a guy does this, what do you do? Like when you get a little, do you get scared when someone doesn't do this? And they go, and you hear them speak and they go, well, I guess, you know, I don't really know yet. You know, I guess if he kept doing it, then maybe I would. And then you go, oh, that's where you went right and I went left.
Totally.
Because you said if he kept doing it and I went,
you did it one time.
Did a hint of that thing, the walls go up. So
totally.
Yeah, that's interesting. But what, and then you might ask a follow-up question, but what if then you kept giving and it turned out he was really screwing you around? And they go, well, yeah, it would suck and I'd be disappointed, but I would just stop giving energy to that person after I knew.
Yeah.
You go, oh, I would hold on to that and I would tell myself that I'm never going to be vulnerable again. And I would tell myself that men are horrible, or I would tell myself, like,
right.
You know, every crossroads where you go left, you see where that person takes a different turn.
Yeah.
And it's really helpful to sit with someone and do that because it starts to model a different way of being.
That's so true.
And when you have a different way of being, you may not be able to do it to the extent that that person is because you're working with different triggers. But if you could take 10% or 20%, and for her, maybe if it turns it into when he says, can I call you later? She says, I'd like that. And there's just a bit more vulnerability in that. Yeah. And then when he does call her, she says, oh, so I got in my head today. And she's just, instead of trying to be okay,
she doesn't
pretend to be okay, but instead of saying, don't call me, she has a conversation and she says,
gets curious with him.
Yeah, I got in my head today about something. They have a conversation, just a vulnerable conversation. Yeah. And maybe he says, oh, you know what? Honestly, this is all too much for me. If you're going to get insecure about this, I don't even want to know. Like maybe
that's
he does
a sign.
That.
Great.
But then it's like, okay, this is someone who doesn't really see me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't bring this to them in a negative way.
Yeah.
And if they can't see this side of me, then this can't be my person because albeit that I want to bring my good energy, I'm bringing vulnerability to this person with good energy and all they're doing is shaming me for who I am and for the things that I struggle with. Right. So not my person. By the way, doesn't make them wrong necessarily, but it does make them wrong for you.
Exactly.
Because the right person is the person who knows how to, who is willing to learn how to handle you.
Exactly.
And maybe he doesn't do that. Maybe he says, honestly, it was like this and da da da, but I'm glad you shared that with me. And you go, oh my God, it didn't, that went okay. And in actually even more so, it brought us a little closer together. We understand each other more. And my vulnerability about this actually communicated a little intentionality.
Yeah.
Because instead of doing what I've done in the past, which is play cool and indifferent at every turn until I erupt, instead now I actually communicated. But you can't communicate that without communicating that you like someone.
Yeah.
So what I've really done, albeit through the lens of something got in my head today, is communicated that I like you.
Yeah.
And maybe that becomes a lovely thing. Maybe that person now realizes, oh, this person likes me more than I realized.
Yeah.
And that becomes that intentionality becomes a stepping stone to more intimacy with that person and more intentionality on their part. The point isn't that every time you deviate through the lens of curiosity and do something different, that you're going to get the exact result you want. The point is that you're going to get a different result. And I have this fundamental belief that...
Do you ever feel like you need an extra push to feel inspired or motivated to take on the day? I know I do at times. And are you searching for a sign to nudge you one step closer to achieving your goals? I've decided to do something, and I'm doing it absolutely free. All you have to do is text JOY. You're going to text JOY to 720. Grab your pen and paper right now. 720-706-5956. And I'm going to send you free weekly inspirational messages from me directly to your phone. We don't have to do this life alone. I want to be there as a support. So just go ahead and simply text JOY to 720-706-5956. And I'm going to be sending you free. It might be an affirmation or encouragement, maybe a meditation, something that will help you start your week in the right foot with a simple message from me. Again, text JOY. And I'm going to give you that number one more time, 720-706-5956, to receive free weekly inspirational messages from me directly to your phone. I love you.
Different is better. Different is good. Because if different happens, even if it's different in a way that blows up in your face, it says there's an other reality than the one I've been living in.
Right.
Where different things happen. And if any reality where different things happen is possible, then that kind of, I find that to be a mind-blowing concept because what it tells me is, oh my God, I thought I was living in the world, but what I've really done at 36 years old is I've spent 36 years living in my world.
Right.
And there are so many different worlds that I could exist in by even deviating by 1% from my normal programming, the whole world of possibility opens up. And that is how people can start. That's why I say to people, the past doesn't equal the future in your love life. because whatever you've experienced in the past has not been a reflection of your capabilities. It's not been a reflection of how lovable you are. It's not been a reflection of what's possible for you. It's only ever been a reflection of the world that you have been living in so far.
Wow. I was going to ask you this question, and maybe you just answered it, because what is one thing that you want people to know or remember, or people are not really getting around life and love? Like, what would be something that's just, you're like, it's on the fringe, people are not quite getting it, and I would love to talk about it. Is it about different is better?
Well, I think different is a gateway to better. I think that if you can get curious, that can start to produce different results, and different results can start to excite you about the possibilities again. I think it's also, maybe we just don't, I think that we're often chasing a feeling without asking ourselves if the feeling we're chasing is the right thing to be chasing.
Oof, in the first place. One.
So, you know, for me, I think I was stuck in a bit of a dopamine cycle in my dating life and chasing kind of this very excited
state.
Yeah. And I think that as we evolve in life, there may be times in our life where we just need to go through that. We need to experience it. And we need to also see that it has its upsides, but it also has its downsides. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we see that it doesn't sustainably make us feel what we want to feel. And so I think that's an invitation to say, well, what would make me feel better? It's no different to going on Instagram and realizing at the end of 10 minutes of mindless scrolling on Instagram, I feel subtly worse than when I open my phone.
Yeah.
Now, why do we go to our phone to open Instagram? Because we're chasing a feeling, right?
It is a dopamine hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a feeling we're chasing, but if we start to tune in and get really intentional about what we're feeling, and you notice at the end of that 10 minutes, I feel subtly worse. And in fact, I think that's a reliable thing. I every time I do this, I feel subtly worse. Then you start to go, well, what is this feeling I'm feeling? Oh, I feel a bit anxious. I feel like I just spent 10 minutes comparing my life to other people's. I feel like I'm not doing enough at work because I just saw a bunch of people that were doing, seem to be doing so much.
They're on a yacht.
Yeah.
Just having fun.
Everyone seems to be on holiday. I'm stuck here in this office. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
You go, well, why did that make me feel worse? Well, because it took me out of my life and it took me away from a calm that I felt this morning when I just spent an hour writing.
Yeah.
And that made me feel really good at the end of it. So I think it's about being really intentional about what we engineer our life towards. And that's true in dating as well. I don't think we pay enough attention to our deeper feelings about what is something or someone really making us feel. We're so preoccupied with getting a person, and often preoccupied with getting a specific kind of person, that we never really check in with ourselves and go, how am I feeling? Like, how does this person make me feel? If I feel always anxious around this person, or if I feel like this person makes me feel like I'm not good enough, or I never really have them. If I really pay attention to what I'm feeling, I feel awful constantly. I keep saying, I just really like this person. How do I get them? Why are we trying to get someone that makes us feel so bad? If we were paying attention to our feelings and not our desires, then it would be a very different thing we did. But I've certainly been in relationships before where I thought, I can't lose this person. I have to do everything in my power to keep this person, to keep impressing them, to keep making them happy, to keep being enough for them. And I thought I would, like, you know, emotionally, I was like, I'll die if I lose this person. And then if I look back now, I'm like, it was hell with that person. Like, how you were living in hell thinking, I can't lose this person, because that would be hell. And we don't see that because we're not, so many of us aren't in tune with what we're really feeling. And we're not guiding ourselves towards happiness. So much of our dating lives are guided by ego, by short-term fixes,
totally,
by chemical addictions, and by the kind of the feelings we're used to. It goes back to, you know, our upbringing and what we got taught was love. If love was chaotic growing up, love was inconsistent growing up, if we were made to feel like we had to earn love growing up, then we grow up and those things, someone comes along and they make us have to fight for them all the time. And we feel like that's love. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's love. I recognize that. That's love.
Yeah.
Someone comes along and they're healthy and they meet us head on and they're simple and they want to see us again.
That's not love.
This doesn't feel right. This isn't it.
Well, like, let me ask you, because you're talking about feeling, and I think someone in their mind is going, well, how do I start to feel myself? How do I start to get in tune with these feelings inside? What would you give me one thing you would tell them to just start that practice of, like, what do you feel?
Well, I think it's just firstly, just paying attention to what are my actual needs, and what fundamental need is not being met in this relationship. Forget how impressive I think this person is. And I get it. They're super eligible. What need is not being met? The need for safety, because this person keeps telling you that they're not ready for a relationship. So that makes you feel like you're constantly in limbo and you don't know where you stand.
Yeah.
The need for being seen, because this person doesn't seem to ever actually spend any time knowing you. They just want you to be live in service of them and their life, and you don't feel like they actually connect with you or even really see you. Mm-hmm. The need for a teammate, because this person never makes you their teammate. They make decisions they want to make.
You're the water boy.
Yeah, they're just like, they come back and they're like, yeah, I made this decision with our finances, or I made this decision with our life. We're doing this, we're moving here, this is that. And you don't get a say, because this person doesn't see you as a teammate. What need is missing for you? And how does that really make you feel? What does that feel like consistently? And realizing that it's not, you can't continue to exist in a place where you're giving and worrying about someone else's needs.
Right.
And they have no regard for yours. And that you, in order to be happy, you're going to have to start paying attention to your needs.
Right.
You're going to have to start taking care of yourself properly, because that's what most of us never learned how to do. We never learned to successfully protect ourselves. We never learned, or certainly not in healthy ways. We never learned to stand up for ourselves. We never learned to advocate for our needs. We didn't even learn that our needs mattered, let alone how to advocate for them. And so we go through life not taking care of the one person we're supposed to take care of. Like, no matter what, you're going to volunteer for a lot of different jobs in your life. You, whether it's deciding to become a parent, whether it's having a career, whether it's being a friend to someone, these are all jobs that we volunteer for at some point in life. But there's one job that you have to do, no matter what. It's been your job since the beginning, and that is take care of the human that is you. That's one job you always have. And most of us have neglected that job. We are sleeping on the job and have been our entire lives. And we don't need to believe that we're special in order to take care of ourselves, or to decide to love ourselves. Because loving ourselves isn't a feeling, it's a decision. You don't have to feel love for yourself. I find that to be a really useless concept a lot of the time. Because it's hard to feel love for yourself. If familiarity breeds contempt, who are you going to have more contempt for than the person you're most familiar with?
That's so true.
Right? It's hard to feel love for ourselves, but we can decide to love ourselves like it's our job, because it is.
Yeah.
In the same way that a parent, if you ask them, why do you love your child? They'll be like, what are you talking about? They're my child.
It's my job.
It's my job. Mm-hmm. It's my job. They're mine.
Yeah.
You, when you look at loving yourself through that lens, you realize, oh, it's not, I don't have to like myself to love myself. I have to love myself like it's my job, because this is my human to take care of. And my job is to give this human the best life possible. And if you ask yourself, what would I do if I was trying to give my human the best life possible? It's a very different answer than, you know, what would I do if I was just trying to feel comfortable? What would I do if I was just repeating the patterns of the past? What would I do if I was trying to get somebody else or impress somebody else? Because if getting somebody else or holding on to somebody else or attracting somebody else is at odds with what would be good for this human, you don't do it anymore. But our focus is wrong. I'm trying to get this person because if I do, it will make me feel like I'm enough. It'll make me feel like I'm good enough. And instead, we have to go, it's not, forget enough. Forget enough. It's like, who's enough? We're just 8 billion people on the planet. That's all we are. It's like, what's this? We have this obsession with enough. Like, who's enough? It doesn't, we're just 8 billion people trying to figure it out. We didn't ask to be born. We're just here. And we're just trying to figure it out. And it's a disaster a lot of the time. It's chaos and there's suffering and it sucks a lot and things go wrong. Totally. And it's like, oh my God. Like, but the one thing we can do is say, this human that didn't decide to be born is here, and they're here for however long, I don't know. But it is my job to try and make sure they have the best go of it they can. It is my job to try and make sure that their experience through this life is as good as I can make it. And so what would I do for this person if that was my goal? And that changes everything.
Wow, that is so good. Okay, I have to ask one last question because I always ask everyone this. You dropped massive nuggets, by the way. So good.
Thank you.
And I'm very excited about this book coming out. It's going to be game-changing, I think, for a lot of people. And I know you know that. You've been working on it a long time, and there's a purpose in that. And delivering a book, I understand that. It's about service, for sure. People really understood it's really more about service than anything else. But let's just imagine it's your last day on this planet. You didn't ask to be here, but you're here. And there are millions of people in front of you. And I mean, you can't even see all the people. They just go. And you get to say one last thing to them. And it's literally like a sentence. What would you say?
I'd say stop judging yourself based on something you did or didn't do in the past. Just focus on the magic that you can create from this moment on.
So good. So good. Very powerful.
Thank you.
Thank you for filling into that answer. Thank you for being here, taking time to be here, and thank you for serving us the way you do. You show up every day, even when it's not always sexy and pretty, you show up to serve. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It means a lot. Thank you for the really thoughtful questions. For anyone who enjoyed what I've talked about, all of it and more is in this book. And I need these reminders all the time. It's not like an epiphany is a very valuable thing, but repetition is what makes it real in our lives. And so this book allows you to not only have the epiphany, but it allows you the repetition to keep coming back to it. And if you go to lovelifebook.com, not only can you order the book from wherever you want, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, there's also an event that you can use your receipt to get a ticket to. And I'm doing this big event. It's a virtual event, but I'm doing it on May the 4th called Find Your Person. And we're going to take all of the ideas from the book and we're going to apply them in a real world way to helping you find your person going forward. So if you want to join me in a live event as well for some coaching at the same time as getting the book, go to lovelifebook.com and you'll get a free ticket to that event in addition to the book.
You get the best stuff when someone puts a book out. They like throw in all these amazing freebies.
Yeah,
and take
it's
advantage.
So much what you years of work. You're like, I want to celebrate this and do something big. So yeah. I do actually, I agree with you. The most the most really cool free stuff you're ever going to get is when someone
puts a book out. For sure. So yeah, you guys go ahead and click the link in the show notes below. But lovelifebook.com. Excited. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. Are you tired of going on dates with no success? Are you currently in a relationship and are longing for a deeper connection? Do you desire a love that transcends time and space and literally is filling you up so that you're never wondering if you're enough or wondering if you're loved or adored? Well, I want to tell you, you're not alone, and I have just the solution for you. I created a program called the 21-Day Attract Your Soulmate Challenge. This is a program that is an incredible journey to manifest the love you truly desire in days. Yeah, you heard that right. 21 days. Whether you're in a relationship, whether you're trying to attract one, to just get the most out of the love in your life. So during this 21-day challenge, you'll discover powerful techniques to attract the love that you truly desire. In the love language that you would like to receive. We're talking about a love that ignites your soul, a love that feels like it was written in the stars just for you. This challenge will provide you with daily exercises, affirmations, and secrets to help you become a love magnet. You'll learn how to let go of past baggage, past stories, past experiences, boost your confidence, and open your heart to new possibilities. If you are ready to manifest your soulmate and create a love story for you, if the answer is yes, then I want you to head over to relationship.manifestablepodcast.com to join now. You can also go into the show notes and click the link, but it's relationship.manifestablepodcast.com, and you're going to be able to sign up for this challenge. Literally in 21 days, you will be able to write to me and say, oh my goodness, I am in a more loving, more caring, more juicy relationship with my current husband or my current partner. Or you might say, hey, I was single and I was afraid to get into a relationship, and now I'm in a relationship I love and adore, and it's right for me. There's no better time than now to start attracting the deepest, most passionate relationship of your dreams. And I have to tell you, it's for you. It is for you. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter if it's been good or bad. Let's do this together. I'm going to show you how. Go to relationship.manifestablepodcast.com or click the link in the show notes and sign up now. Sending you all my love.